What is God doing right now?
If God is everywhere, why can't I see him anywhere?
Where is God?
Where is God?
Why is there so much suffering?
Why does God let this happen?
Why won't God answer my prayers?
Who's going to heaven?
How come? Why?
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 What's the point?
What for?
Now it's time for some straight answers to awkward questions with Pastor George Samianch.
My baby's died. What now? Welcome to Straight Answers to Awkward Questions, where today's question is awkward because of the pain and distress behind the question. My name is George Samietz, and I'm pastor at Ascension Lutheran Church in Brandon, in the county of Suffolk, England. Welcome to the program. In this question and the issues surrounding it, we find two words, two realities that we never want to put together. We don't want them in the same room. We don't want to think about them. We don't even like them in the same sentence. The two words are babies and death. Should they, however, be linked, then we know we're facing and people are experiencing heartache, pain, and deep sorrow. If ever the truth comes close to us that we grow up expecting to bury our parents and not our children, then it has to be at the death of our infants. The Christian Church, of course, proclaims that death doesn't have the final word, that Jesus has defeated the power of death to separate us from God and from each other forever, and that our babies receive salvation and eternal life from Jesus at baptism. This is real comfort in the face of the tragedy before us. Jesus meets us in baptism and takes hold of us. It is a powerful truth and a powerful picture when our hopes have turned to ash. But what happens if the baby is not baptized? What happens if the baby is stillborn? What happens if the mother miscarries? My baby's died. What now? The Church's starting point remains the truth that a child has died. This is evident should the baby die having been born, or die before birth, hence the term stillborn. In these cases, we can see and hold a child and grieve and say goodbye. Should the death occur earlier in the pregnancy, then the parents' feelings about the child and their ability to say goodbye depend on the length of the pregnancy, whether the laws of the land require the death to be registered, the way the body is disposed, and so on. Obviously, a baby develops in the womb, and the closer miscarriages occur to conception, the more the self-understanding of what has happened by the parents and the treatment of the medical world seems to categorize it as a medical procedure, and with the phrase, it is very common. So into these environments of crushed hope, of biology, of law, of medicine, now comes the Church, who will always acknowledge with the parents, here, sadly, is the death of a child. Therefore, the Church will offer her support to all involved in this bereavement with a range of care. Obviously, where the baby is to be buried or cremated, then a funeral service is conducted. Where this is not possible or appropriate, then the Church might provide a rite of entrustment to God for the parents and family. Of course, there is always prayer and scripture. I have conducted a memorial service many months after a stillbirth, which occurred at around 24 weeks, I think it was, because the mother only months later had opened the envelope given to her by the hospital, which contained photos of her baby and a card with an inked footprint from her baby. There had been no funeral at the time, but now, months later, she wanted to do something, and so we held a private memorial service at church. My point is that, whether at the time of the death or much later, maybe years later, the Church is always ready to care, and if unresolved feelings surface repeatedly, then the care is repeated, as appropriate and required. Of course, the Church should not tell people how they should feel in such circumstances, but always be ready to respond. Into these circumstances, however, can often come anxiety when Christian parents are concerned that their child is unbaptized. Some clergy might be asked to baptize the dead baby, and while there are accounts of this being done, this action is not the teaching and practice of the Church, and I would suggest actually isn't helpful or comforting in the long run for those who mourn, because the anxiety exists precisely because baptism and the living are linked together, and there is no scriptural authority behind baptizing the dead. Understanding baptism for what it is and what it isn't is the best way of responding to people's concern for an unbaptized baby. Yes, baptism is the normal means by which a person is grafted into Christ, incorporated into the body of Christ, born again of water and the Spirit. But as I said in a previous straight answer, the Church also recognizes that the thief on the cross was not baptized, and that there are circumstances when what would have been a normal course of events, that Christian parents bring their children to be baptized as soon as possible, has been interrupted by death. And we believe that, of course, God is both Lord of life and death. So what we haven't wanted to happen, the death of a child, has interrupted what would have been a normal sequence of events for Christian parents, and so we entrust the unbaptized child to God's care. The unborn child will already have been commended to God by the parents and the Church when the pregnancy was announced. And some also assume that the unborn child lives within the baptismal life of the mother while in the womb, as the mother lives in Christ. The Church entrusts the unbaptized child into God's everlasting arms, not because the child is innocent. No, this sad situation is dripping with the consequences of sin in our world, but because in Christ, God is gracious. The rites of the Church say variously, "We commend this child to the Lord, trusting in His infinite mercy." And there are many prayers offered which again have a common thread of the hope of the resurrection and a reunion in the heavenly home prepared for us. Now, should the parents not be Christian, in other words, even if not said out loud, everyone knows that they would not have sought baptism, and Jesus perhaps is on the fringe of their lives, but now they seek care from Jesus and His Church, then of course Jesus and His Church do not turn anyone away. However, the comfort of baptism, God's personal contact with us, is diminished when this was not being sought. In such cases, the Church assures the grieving parents that God loves each person, even the unborn, and in this case their child, and He wants all people to be saved. Yes, all these situations are fraught with emotion and pain. Death produces such things, and the intensity when we're in the shadow of the death of a child makes it even harder for some people to think of God in any positive way. The Church will keep gently pointing people back to the man on the cross and saying, "God both understands and He does help." But it is never easy, and it is incredibly sad. As we leave these little ones in God's everlasting arms, noticing His pierced hands and trusting Him always. If you'd like some straight answers, send your awkward questions to me, George Samyets, at Lutheran Radio UK. That is at info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Goodbye.